following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Fall camp continues to work its way, but the first day of pads was this afternoon for the Auburn Tigers.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Yes, welcome in, welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio on yet another hot day, Wednesday, August 12th, here in the Auburn Opelika area. Looks like the weather may decide to rain. I don't know. You never really know. It's between 2 and 4 here on ESPN 106.7, and so if there is not drops of rain, I'd actually be pleasantly surprised. But another fantastic day, another busy day here in town as school continues to work its way closer and closer. I believe that starts Monday, I believe. We'll have to get confirmation on that. But yeah, we know that it's rush season right now. I mean, you drive downtown, and for those that haven't, don't. But a whole lot going on in town right now. We mentioned it. Fall camp continues to whirl closer and closer to the start of the regular season for the Auburn Tigers. And today was the first day of pads, and we were able to be out there for a little while and got to watch this team warm up, got to watch this team run a couple of drills, a couple of unscripted offensive game plans that I don't think that Mr. Taylor Bryan was overly happy about. He was a little bit surprised and had to show off the sprinter speed and the 40-yard dash to get everybody to turn the cameras off, because all of a sudden it was like, all right, offense, defense, start at the 20. We're going. And
he went full like quarterback field journal, just going, cameras, cameras. Yeah. Like, it sounded like he was like Peyton Manning, Omaha.
Yeah.
Omaha.
It really
was kind
did.
Of electric with AC/DC just blaring, or Guns N' Roses blaring it throughout the practice facility.
It's pretty sweet. We'll talk a little bit about that specifically as well. But some of our notes, some of our biggest talking points that we want to discuss here this afternoon. We'll also talk some questions kind of outside the ordinary. Everybody wants to know what the offensive line is going to look like. Everybody wants to know who is behind Jeremiah Cobb. What is Byron Brown? What is the receiver? What is the defensive line? Things like that. But what are some out of the ordinary questions that we want to be able to talk about? We want to answer and highly encourage you to be a part of today's program, especially in that segment as well. We'll play a little bit of fall camp audio from this afternoon, also from a couple of days ago with the receivers coach Cody Burns and co-offensive coordinator, again, wanting to really dive into, again, a little bit more on that receiver room. And then hour number two, we told you starting last week that we really wanted it to be able to dive into a lot of what goes on around the state of Alabama. And that goes beyond the Auburn and Alabama side of things, but everybody falls under another umbrella of a team, and one that you at least follow, or one that you graduated from. And last week we were able to sit down and speak with Coach Charles Kelly of Jacksonville State. To no head coach this week, continuing to work out some more details with some other coaches to hopefully be able to have them on the show and be able to promote their programs as well. But wanted to really dive into week zero and week one across the state of Alabama. So we'll be able to look a lot about what those teams, or who those teams are, and what they're going to look like in week zero, or most of them in week one, here this afternoon. And a conversation on SEC basketball as well to wrap up the show. But phone lines are open for just about the entirety of today's program. No Jordan Hill joining us on the phone lines, as it is for us a very, very busy day in Athens on the Georgia football side of things. And he said, man, he's pumping out as much content as he can right now. And so completely understand his side of things. And so because of that, it means the phone lines, again, are wide open. If you want to be a part of today's program, you can do so at 334-321-13. 1390. The Send Medicine text box is always open as well at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And the text box, again, is brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven health care to the Plains. Find out more and become a member today by visiting Send Medicine, SENNmedicine.com here today. And I guess I didn't give my formal introduction because I guess they asked a question and it got answered. But across from me is my man Trip Upton here this afternoon, as he always is. Appreciate you for being here. Happy Wednesday, sir. I know that today's been a very busy day for you, not only on the Auburn University side of things, but the Auburn High School side of things as well.
Yes, we had me and the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Jack Hudden, along with the main man, Steve Witten, went over to meet with Coach Etheridge of the Tigers, and good talking to him. Just a good dude. I mean, it was a meeting that was supposed to be like an hour maybe, but it was like 2.5. Got here right at
not
about,
surprised whatsoever.
Oh, he's the man. I mean, talk about this roster is going to look like and what, you know, what his thoughts on the schedule, kind of just getting our P's and Q's. We're going to have him live on the show next Wednesday at 2:30.
And is that going to be solidified? Is that throughout the season?
Yes. We are actively doing show programming as we are on the air. But yes, that is going to be something that you're going to be able to set your watch to as we were able to discuss. And so that was really cool getting to talk to him. I had talked to him a couple of times before, but he is just the man. And so there's a lot of stuff. I mean, obviously we're going to be able to talk about it. We're going to have some stuff coming out this week, leading into next week with Coach and Jack potentially being able to preview the season. I think that Auburn's going to have all the opportunity in front of them this year. I'm so excited for this fall. I think that this is going to be a team, if a lot of the things that Coach were telling us break the way we think they are, to be a team that can make a run.
Yeah, again, really looking forward to getting him. We'll have Coach Osmond on there as well throughout the season, the interim head coach for Lee Scott Academy, and really excited for everything that's continuing to work its way on Academy Drive as well. Saw that the turf is completely down, the scoreboard
really?
Is up, and
ooh.
So looks really, really cool. Really excited for everything that's to come on that side of things. Also looking forward to what's happening in Neville Arena here in the next couple of
yes.
days, because August 22nd and August 23rd, Neville Arena is where you need to be for the inaugural card and memorabilia show presented by On to Victory. Head over to ontovictory.com/card show to find out more about the two-day event featuring more than 150 vendor tables with huge selection of sports cards, memorabilia, and collectibles. Plus, some vendors will even have Pokemons for Trip Upton. Neville
Yay.
Arena will play host to all of the above. Plus, there will be celebrity autographs from Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, and Hawks legend Dominique Wilkins. Auburn will have their own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet various players and teams that will compete this season for Auburn University. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance their experience. Are you a card collector, an autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports? August 22nd and August 23rd, a two-day fan experience like no other inside Neville Arena. And of course, Aubie is going to be there. And so if that's a selling point in itself, well as kids zones with activities to make those 2 days even more memorable. For information on ticketing, pricing, and a schedule of events to inquire your VIP packaging, visit onthevictory.com/card show, again, card show, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory, legendary athletes along with Auburn student athletes today. Again, onthevictory.com/card show, and talking about a couple of couple of teams, a couple of players that are getting their starts here tonight. Auburn soccer, we were able to speak with Coach Armstrong and a couple of the ladies on the team yesterday afternoon. Highly encourage everybody that had not been a part of it to go and listen to that. Again, you
and be out there tonight. I mean, exactly, it sounds like such a fun experience. You know, bring your own cooler, free admission. I mean, we need to be as rowdy as, you know, if we could find a way to bring the gymnasties and all the awesome Auburn sports fans that are all across the in the city and in the area. Get out there, support the Tigers. It's going to be a good one against Clemson.
Yeah, 6 o'clock against Clemson tonight. The start of the season for Auburn soccer. And again, you can hear it in our conversation that although Coach Armstrong was born across the pond, he is cut from the same cloth of the Auburn creed. The Auburn Tigers was able to again talk about the hard work and how that is a non-negotiable when you discuss this Auburn Tiger team. And so really excited. I'm going to work my way out there here this evening, go watch this team. Maybe sit behind the goal, maybe try and raise a little you-know-what for the right Tigers here tonight. And so really looking forward to that. And before we dive into content, do we have this? Is this confirmed?
Yes.
Is this ready? This is much more of a
us thing.
I was going to say personal because I didn't realize that you felt the same way. But well, yes, this is much more of an us thing because there will not be slander, at least from 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7, of one of the greatest point guards to ever play the game. And I do say that with confidence. I say that ready to make any sort of argument necessary because one of the greatest retired here this afternoon in Russell Westbrook. And I will not... I'm telling you, I will not accept slander on this radio station, at least from 2 to 4. Any other time, if you have your opinions otherwise, feel free to let them out. But Russell Westbrook announced his retirement here this afternoon, and one of the most impactful players in terms of not only numbers, but you talk about a guy that was addicted to winning and addicted to playing the right way and putting everything on the floor every single night.
I mean, a guy that you look at the tenacity and the just, again, you said it, like the energy, the hard work factor. No one ever doubted that Russell Westbrook was going to work hard.
Yeah, single night. Man, you hear all about load management now. You hear all about, and I'm going to take a couple of days off. And, man, Russell Westbrook, I think it was Kobe that talked about it, of, man, there might be a dude that's sitting up in the Raptors, a family that's never watched me play before. And if I choose to sit out on a Tuesday night, they may never have the chance to watch me again. That was the same mentality that Russell Westbrook had. Got a text in the on-the-line text box. Dane Wright, 334-784-1685, the Send Medicine text
box. I thought you were about to read whoever sent it to you. I was like, are you talking?
Oh, yeah, I got a text that, no, just says, Dane Wright, appreciate the love for Westbrook. Yes,
yeah.
100%.
Not even going to say the other name.
No.
Because it's untrue. Just because a bunch of Lakers fans decide that he was past a little bit past his prime. I think he'd admit that himself when playing in LA with LeBron. But I mean,
sure,
when a dude has 20 points, 20 rebounds, 20 assists in one game, averages a triple double, which had not been done since Oscar Robertson in like the 60s and 70s.
And again, somebody
in the modern era,
somebody that just there's the thunder. I was right. Okay, there it is. It is going to rain for no reason whatsoever. It's raining in my heart today too, because one of my favorite basketball players that I ever watched.
Do you remember the video they put out when he was like the front runner for MVP? It was it's the one with like the trophy in it. It was like Bleacher Report put it out, and it was like a song, like Schoolhouse Rock kind of thing. It was so
I do not remember.
I gotta find it for you.
I was gonna say we'll find that during a break, but. Again, I needed 5 minutes of my life. This is a 3-minute clip of him and his retirement video, and it's not going to completely do it justice because you do need the video side of things, but it's narrated by Michael B. Jordan, and it's talking about Russell as a person and a player. And so again, this is 3 minutes for self-healing that we need to play here on the radio station this afternoon.
Every museum has a curator, and every exhibit they have a story, but some stories don't need someone to tell them. They just speak for themselves. So tonight, I'm not going to tell you what any of this means. I'm just going to show you. and I'm going to ask him a few questions along the way. Not because I expect an answer, but because some things deserve to be asked, even in silence. This one's from the inner city of South Central. Before any of it, before the triple doubles, before the MVP, before anybody outside of Los Angeles knew his name. Because why not? This is the next chapter. The Sonics made him the number four pick in 2008. No one in OKC could have told you what he'd become. And this? This is the one people point to. Like it explains everything. It doesn't. Well, not really. Russ, what kept you going all those years? What made you get back up night after night when the whole league had a highlight reel of you falling down? Yeah, I figured that. You know, people forget.
Nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew who I was.
Before he was a walking headline, he was just a kid in inner city LA who could jump higher than anybody had a right to.
Russell Westbrook from UCLA.
Somewhere between the dunks and the draft classes, he became something else. Not just a player, a personality. A mean before we even called it that. A husband, a father, a guy in a kilt at the Met, daring anybody to say something. What did winning mean to you? I mean, really. No, not just the trophies, the actual feeling. Some things you don't say. You just play them over and over until everyone else understands too. Because why not? This wing isn't finished yet. That's not a mistake. We left it this way on purpose. Because whatever's next, the mentorship, the foundation, the kids who are going to grow up wanting to move just like he did. That part hasn't been built yet either. Were you ever afraid of what happens after the game stops needing you? This wing isn't finished. Neither is he. And that's the point. Last question. Now that you decided to step away from everything on your own terms, what are you the most proud of? That might be the best interview I've ever done.
Was it necessary? I'll say yes. I will say yes.
Was it awesome? Yeah, that's all that mattered.
That's all that mattered. Take that for what you will. But again, somebody that I'll admit I used to dislike from the standpoint of that villain role. And then I matured a little bit and realized that was like the KD Westbrook like saga when that was going on.
You went with KD?
I did not go necessarily with KD, but it was much more of like he was involved in the drama for a couple of years. But it was,
man, I was team the sec. I've been team Brody. Like when they split up, I was like, all right, I got to invite him with Russell Westbrook when he was making the cupcake jokes,
sure,
at KD, and then like with a video with the first game back, and Russell was like, I'm about it. And he's like talking.
Yeah, he's like, I'm coming. And Kevin's like, who cares?
Yeah. Oh, such a legendary rivalry.
Growing up, and then, I mean, realizing that, I mean, even last year on the Kings, I mean, the impact that he had. So, again, Russell Westbrook announcing his retirement this afternoon. But I will be 100% confident to say that he will not leave the game. Again, whether they said in the end of that interview or the end of the video, whether that's player coaching, whether that's, I mean, being a GM, whether that's, I mean, on court coaching. I mean, this is a guy that's one of the most impactful that you've seen in the NBA. And so we will take a break. We'll come back and we will dive into our regularly scheduled programming with fall camp, our thoughts from this morning, into some audio as well, and some questions outside the ordinary, talking about possibly the role that special teams can play this year, as well as some other questions that we definitely want to answer here in hour number one. We're off and running here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. A little bit of a different start than usual, but again, very, very necessary. And the fact that you felt the same way, because, I mean, what, this was released at 1:55? It was
I got the notification. I think I said, I was like, oh, Russell Westbrook just retired. No. Yeah. And then you were like, you said something, we need to do this. I was like, oh, yeah, let's do it.
And shout out Brandon Gurgley, who's in the other studio right now, who just recorded it for us and sent it to us, and he had it ready by 2:05 for a three-minute video. So major props to
Mr.
Gurg.
The Gurg. Yeah, but moving, I mean, yeah, just a phenomenal player.
He very much so. Very, very much is. But moving into the Auburn side of things, fall camp continued here this afternoon, or this morning, rather, and the media availability was, again, at the very start of it, from about 9 to 9:20, 9:25, and got to watch the, again, the warm-up side of things, got to watch the running backs do a lot, the receivers, and watch the offense work a little bit, which was really, really cool. And again, today was the first day of pads, and I'm going to preface this segment with two things, actually. One, I understand that it's a cliche to say that it feels different, right? I understand that everybody says that whenever there's a new coach, right, whenever there's a new anything. You know what? It feels different. It just, the way things work here is different. I understand that that is a very, very overused term.
But,
comma, but, we like our conjunctions here on
conjunction, junction, what's your function, baby? Yeah. Oh,
that's what a video.
That's the second Schoolhouse Rock reference in two segments today.
Bingo
look
cards,
us.
Baby. Look at us.
We do know what we're talking about sometimes.
But we do. I was a creative writing major before working into the broadcasting field. Fun fact, trivia question for when that will never be asked. But
I'll ask it.
What was the... No. But, comma, but, because again, we love our conjunctions. Isn't that the bare minimum? Like, the people that hate on the sunshine pumper, and I don't even mean to be a sunshine pumper, to say that it looks, to say that it sounds, quite literally, to say that it looks, sounds, feels very different. Appreciate your work, Mr. Gurgley. He's walking out of the studio now. Appreciate what you do for us.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that what you hope for? At the bare minimum, that it looks different, that it feels different, that it sounds different, that is what you're getting. But I don't think, and I don't think that Auburn fans are buying into the Gatorade of drinking the Gatorade of hope, because Alex Golish so far has done anything but be a normal kind of just their coach, right? I mean, we've talked all about the recruiting side of things and how he continues to win everything that he possibly can before September 5th. This is day one of pads, and you're hearing the music blaring, man. You're seeing the energy on the team that just feels different, man, and I don't know how to truly explain it. I'm hoping, everybody's hoping, that September 5th will show that, but it fires me up just being there and seeing the team go meet in the indoor football facility on the Auburn logo, and you hear the players and you hear the coaches saying, set the MF in tone early. That fires me up. And also, this is the second thing that I'm going to preface. I do not mean to poo-poo on the previous regime, comma, but that's something that you didn't have.
Right. I think that there was a, like, we were joking on the way back from practice where, you know, you drive by the practice facility and the outdoor scrimmaging fields, and we were like, there was a bunch of bushes, and you had told me, which I didn't know, that like an Alabama fan was watching practice last year, like, or something, and they had to go talk to him. And we even made the joke that the previous regime would have walked out. What can I do to help you? Let's bring you inside. Let's get you some, make you comfortable. And I don't, you know, that's just kind of what the, you know, not a good or bad thing, but that's what the last regime would do, where it was not the urgency to win. It was more about just doing being right off the field, which is important, but there was not as much focus on the field. And I think that has changed so much. And you said it, you know, you say the cliche of, oh, it's you're saying it feels different every time. Like, it's like the fall camp of everyone's running faster, everyone's at their target weight, everyone's doing this in the weight room. And that's can be all true, but that's just a cliche. But it does feel different. The only time you'd want it not to feel different is if you're like, you know, we're coming off a national. If you're
if you have that
Indiana
standard and it feels the same way that it feels like you're meeting
Alabama
that standard
under Nick Saban, Georgia under Kirby Smart. You know, if you're Indiana right now, you want it to feel the same that it did last season of winning a national championship and going 16-0.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels different, and it feels a good different. There's an edge. There's some kind of a tenacity with this Auburn team that I think that's going to be something that we need to be able to watch out for.
I'll say that it feels nice leaving fall camp and getting to our car and still being able to hear music. Hearing it bounce from building to building and knowing, oh, Auburn football is practicing right now. Hearing the coaches yell from our car and
specifically
words that we cannot share on the air.
Yeah.
But like it felt like football practice. It felt like somebody that I'd go to war for. And I know that's an obviously overused cliche as well, but you talk about the staff getting the best of every single player. Everybody was fired up this morning. And we'll play some audio for you here in just a little bit. But a guy like Omar Mabson, who didn't get the official audio, looks the part that everybody's been talking about, but especially in pads. But hearing him, the first question was, you know, I think it was from Bill, of what did it feel like being able to have pads on today? And he was like, man, it felt great. I was able to hit somebody today. And it like, man, this like the energy just feels unified. It feels like everybody's fired up, and not even from a sunshine pumper way. It felt like people were fired up and the coaches were fired up even when things were going wrong. We heard Cody Burns talk about how bad the receivers were in their first drill or two, trying to basically box out a DB and catch it with your hands. And he was saying, no, we're being, you know what, we're going to start over. You heard the offensive line coaches just losing their absolute mind after one of the offensive drills. You heard another coach when they were walking off the field basically bring everybody back and say, no, this offense goes fast as we're not walking. We're not jogging off the field because that's not how we do things, man. It feels like there is a difference, and obviously that's the bare minimum. That's the conversation that we're having of how different that it feels, and all of this can go by the wayside come September 5th if the scoreboard doesn't look the way that I'll say it that it should. Yet right now, being able to be at practice, be at the media availabilities, and hear from the coaches, hear from the players, and see the way that they are responding to one another is very, goes back to what we used at Media Days, refreshing to see.
And a thing I want to highlight is that as we were walking out, as we have our media availability and the SIDs are ushering us out, you hear a song that I think Auburn known fans know a little well, and the Auburn players are going to get to know well the Saturday after Thanksgiving. It started with that Bama session. Dixieland Delight came on and was blaring. And again, we could hear that across the street at the softball parking lot behind the softball stadium because the parking was packed today. And you could still hear, spend my dollar. Hark. And they did not have the Bama version or the alternate version with the remark backs to the song. But like that fires me up as an Auburn fan that you're preparing for it now. Because, again, Auburn hasn't won there in 16 years. If a baby was born on the day of the comeback, they would be able to drive this Iron Bowl.
Legally.
By themselves. That something's got to change, and that's what Alex Golish is trying to do.
I love that Bama session.
I love it. I understand the gotcha that people are going to get, yes, saying like, oh, you know.
Oh, wow, look what you're preparing for. And if the result goes the way that Alabama fans are up, oh, wow, I see what, you know, that session meant nothing.
We're in your heads. We're big brother. Yeah. Okay, but if the shoe is on the opposite foot, you'd love it too. I think we need more of that kind of stuff. Like, can it be hokey? Yes. Because I look at what Jeff Collins did at Georgia Tech in his opening press conference. We're going to stop using red pens. I think he scored a combined like 3 touchdowns his entire career against Georgia. Just putting it out there. In the three, four years that he played him.
But that's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there. But like, that, it can be hokey, but this is not what Alex Golish is going to do. It's preparation in games. Everyone does it. I mean, if teams that play Florida State, they put in those big speakers, and it's the tomahawk chop 24-7. Teams that play against Tennessee, it's Rocky Top. When you play Alabama, and Alex Golish knows his career is dictated, unfortunately as it is how he does against Alabama. That's what his career is going to be dictated here on the Plains. He's got to get back to the standard of winning the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to do. That's why you play that first. Why you play that Bama. That's why you play that Bama segment as you're walking off. Fire everybody up to get the first day of pad started. Again, we weren't there after that, but I would have loved to have heard the way that to be a fly on the wall on the segment after that with the players, because again, they make that segment not fun,
right?
Purposely
good
for that music, so that way there's something that triggers, and when they hear that on the very final game of the regular season with 15 more minutes to play in the regular season, something snaps and it goes all the way back to even the spring, but now into summer, now into fall. And I think that fires everybody up. Fires me up as well.
Hey, I'd rather them be playing Dixie Lady Delight every time. Just don't be playing Rammer Jammer after the game.
I'll take that than the alternative. Music kicking us out of here. We're 30 minutes in to the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We're back right after this.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Into the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. And again, continuing our conversation with fall camp, but wanted to more so, or I guess also, speak on some of the questions that we've been discussing that are outside the ordinary, because we've spent so much time talking about, is the offensive line going to be good? How many guys do we have on this team, on this offensive line, that can make an immediate impact? How many guys do we have in the running back room? Who is going to be after Jeremiah Cobb? Who's going to be the next guy up other than Keyshawn Singleton? And while I don't believe these are questions that need to go overlooked, I think there's some more questions that we need to be able to dive into that go, again, a little bit beyond just those very, again, they're not even shallow questions, but just the ones that get asked every single day. And I mean questions that we've wanted to dive into. I don't know, special teams is obviously a big one that comes to your mind, Trip, because it's like, okay, regardless of how good or how bad a team is, special teams is something that stands out. Whether that's good, whether that's bad, you notice when a team is very good on special teams. You notice when a team is very bad on special teams. And I think over the last handful of years, you've been able to feel a little bit of both here on the Plains.
Right. And I think that the just what this special teams can be, I think Alex McPherson, man, we'll have some audio to play for you here in a little bit from both Hudson Cock as well as Hudson Powell, the long snapper. And effectively, they're like, yeah, dude, I think Hudson Powell, you'll hear him say, like, yeah, I'm able to snap for field goals where I normally snap for punts. And that's,
we were watching him today, and sorry to cut you off, but this was obviously not 11-on-11. This was just a guy having a stake in the ground holding a football, but he was at the 40-yard line, and he was, I mean, drilling him halfway up the uprights. So, I mean, this is a really big leg for Alex McPherson, and nice to see that it's fully back too.
Right, he's at his playing weight, or at least what he wants to be. And I really think that the special teams could be such an impact, because, you know, I think that there was some up and downs, not to call guys like Anders Carlson or Oscar Chapman bad by any means, but it was more of the punt drops. look at the Iron Bowl in 2023. If they catch that punt, Auburn probably wins the football game. And it was to the point where every single time a punt would go up in the air, my immediate thought would be, and Christian, you correct me if you're wrong, you know, if you have a different opinion, was he's so dropping this punt, just stay away from it. That just can't happen, because special teams is such a swing that a lot of people just forget about and don't really think about, but it's so important.
I mean, it very much is. Jacob Bronowski named the special teams coach for the Auburn Tigers, and Golish said that he's fired up for him to join the staff, talking about his track record, talking about developing multiple national award contenders, a Lou Groza award winner, and some of the top special teams units in the country. Yes, there have been plenty of times where, yes, you see a team punt on 4th and 8, and it's like, just send all 11 at the punter. Like, I don't care where the field position starts, because it means we're guaranteed to watch the offense run out onto the field. I know that the kickoff return specialist game has also been very poor. And
I mean, outside of the kick return last year by Pleasant, I mean, was there a major one? I mean,
punt return's always been decent when the ball is caught.
But that was not a guarantee at all.
Again, the fact that that's been a big TB for everybody, that if you know, you know. Again, kickoff has been atrocious to where, again, it's like, man, call a fair catch even if you catch it at the 14-yard line, because you're not getting outside the 25. At least you haven't as of late. And again, Bronowski obviously going to play a very, very big factor, as are the entire special teams, which, again, will play here in just a moment. But some of the other questions that come to mind, and if you have thoughts on this conversation, again, the phone lines are open at 334-321-1390. The Send Medicine text box you can always be a part of as well at 334-784-1685. Send in anything you have in terms of, again, a question outside the ordinary, a question outside the okay, but what is the running back room going to look like? Who's going to split carries with Jeremiah Cobb? Again, this is just something that goes a little bit more in depth. And one of the biggest ones that I have is for you, and kind of putting you on the spot, Trip, but is there something that has to happen beyond looking up at the scoreboard after 60 minutes and seeing Auburn having more points than the other team? Is there something that has to happen for you to go, okay, this is different, this coaching staff is different, the offensive game plan is different? Is there something, a game within the game, that has to happen for you to almost trust that difference in coaching staff and talent and game plan?
I mean, I just would have to say, like, it's easy to say points. That's the dumb answer. But honestly, it's sustaining drives. It's the idea that I think the problem with last year's team, just point blank, was there was no offensive game plan in terms of running the clock. There was no time of possession battle that Auburn would ever win, because it would be three and out punt, three and out punt, big play touchdown, three and out punt.
Big play and then four and out, essentially.
Yes.
We're at the 20, 30-yard pass to midfield, and now we can go essentially three and out.
I mean, or a turnover. Like, that is what Auburn was just notorious for. And what will make it different for me is if Auburn can get the ball at the 20 or the 25, and you look up and 10 plays later, 5 minutes have gone by, 7 minutes have gone by,
yeah,
and Auburn is in scoring position. I think that, yes, big play touchdowns are great, but there's nothing that bends the will of an opponent and forces their defense to just be able to get grinded down than a long, tedious drive. A defensive coordinator will tell you, like, if they're getting stops on defense, yeah, give up a big play touchdown. Yeah, it stinks, but we can get our offense right back on the field. Your defense has no rest. We know what's working. Hit them again. Hit them again. Don't give them time to react. Hit them again. For Auburn to be different, and for this defense to be even better, it's going to rely on the offense with time of possession and just long, grinded out, death march type drives.
I think one of the biggest things, doubling down on what you're saying, is this Golish offense wants to work with so much pace, right? They want to work very fast. But if Auburn's up 24-20 with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, can you go march down the field and put together a 5.5 or 6 minute touchdown drive? Or at bare minimum, if you're on the road and you kick to start the game, you get the football to start the third quarter, and it's, say it's 14 to 10. Are you able to march down the field and have that seven-minute drive, and all of a sudden it's 21 to 10?
That win that middle four or the middle 10?
Yes.
That's such an underrated part of football, is that conversation.
Talked a lot about that
because
last season. It was the, I believe it was the middle, or I guess it was the 16. It was the first four and the last four of each half, to where it was basically the first four, the middle eight, and the last four. That was some of the worst
football
management and game planning that I think I've ever watched.
I mean, it felt like the two minute warning would start, and it was the witching hour in Auburn, Alabama. But I just think that if they can, yes, play fast, and if that's working, great. But I think that part of that comes with running the football.
Yeah,
something
very much
that so. Hugh Freeze refused to do. When you had Jeremiah Cobb, when you had Jarquez Hunter, it was, we got to get the ball to these big wide receivers that we're paying fat contracts for. Run the ball. If that's working and you're getting 4 yards in a cloud of dust carries, and then you throw it over the top, get another 10, and then grind it back out, it's not just an air raid, just throw it, because then that puts your defense out to dry. If it's not working, then it's not working. And all of a sudden you look up and no matter what time is left on the scoreboard, the other offense is going to have enough time and you're not going to have enough. Grind it out, methodically move down the field, and that's going to just win you football games, point blank.
Got a text in the on-the-line text box, the Send Medicine on-the-line text box, which again is brought to you by Send Medicine at 334-784-1685, and says, may seem stupid, but making the game simple. And I think that is a fantastic answer because how many times, and this is something that Jacob and I talked about, gosh, for hours and hours on end, that'd be a conversation that would start at 3:30 and would carry on until we left the office and then went home, and we'd carry that on through dinner. Because it was like, how many times did you see a head coach or an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator make the game so much more difficult than it needs to be? And I understand that there are couch coaches, and I understand that at times everybody's one of them. Yet that being said, when you get to the point of you're in College Station and it's the first quarter, the end of the first quarter, and Auburn posts the graphic of you're down 7-0 or whatever the case was, and it was like, a running back still has not touched the football. A running back does not have a carry yet, and you have 4.5 yards of total offense. Maybe make the game a little bit simpler. It's something that, again, we preach about so often, but
not everything has to have an RPO, like, sorry to cut you off, but like not everything has to have an RPO, bubble look-off, check
choice
into
route.
A choice route. If inside
if something
zone
is working,
run the ball. If jet sweep is working, do that.
Which is what we saw in week one against Baylor and Waco.
They figured out that Arnold hasn't been looking good throwing the ball. The Baylor defense is keying in on the pass, man. Let's run the ball.
I guess it wasn't even necessarily Arnold didn't look good throwing it, but it was more of the fact of, man, we're running a soft, too high cloud shell to where the safeties are 12 yards back to start. They're dropping back with their, toes on the ground from the standpoint of backing up. The linebackers sit at about 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and they're backing up. And it was like, okay, we're going to force this Auburn offense. We're going to force Hugh Freeze to do something that he does not want to do, which is continuously run the ball, which is have methodical drives, which is convert on 4th-and-1, which Auburn did a couple of times. And we sat there after that game of, man.
What if?
Was there a change? Did we just see something? And Freeze, after the game, talked about how it was frustrating. He didn't want to do it, but he swallowed his pride and did it. Why'd you have to swallow your pride when your offense looks good?
When you're scoring 30-plus points, what are the few times they did that last season? Like, that just doesn't make any sense. And that shows you kind of what the program was like last season, and the leadership of that program, just calling a spade, just was not good. And if you're having to talk about, oh, our offense didn't play well today, we only ran for 300 yards. Gosh. I mean, imagine. Like, Al Golch wouldn't do that. He'd say, we ran the football. If you got to throw the ball 50 times, oh, man, we slung it around the yard.
Making the game simple. That's a fantastic one. I was trying to think of a way to say that, but couldn't, I guess, find the right words. But it sounds stupid, but make the game simple. That's a pretty dang good answer. What works? Make it work. Until they give you a reason to stop it. If Jeremiah Cobb's averaging 6.5 on the ground,
get ready to learn sweep, zone, buck sweep, we'll run it, dive, power, run everything. And then when they keep on that, play action. Hey, Chaz Nimrod, meet you in the end zone.
Hey, Jeremiah Koger, which we saw this morning, by the way, on that unscripted offensive game plan, first play, Byron Brown, fake handoff, roll out, Jeremiah Koger, see ya. Hold up the deuce sign, Mr. Four. He was gone, and the entire offense sprinted down the sideline to go celebrate him. Absolutely awesome. We got to get to break. Otherwise, we're already going to have a very small segment here to end hour number one. But we'll be back to wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. And yesterday, we gave an applause sarcastically for youth sports. Now, I want to take a moment and give a legitimate applause, a legitimate round of applause for common sense. Because the update that we gave yesterday about the Little League World Series and the team from Tulsa, Oklahoma that played a couple ineligible players that went and got a temporary restraining order from a judge, ironically in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to continue playing in the Little League World Series.
I thought the judge was in Waco.
Was he in Waco?
Yeah, yes. But, I mean, still, the point still, it's because that's where the game was being played. That's the only reason why it
was
there.
Gotcha, okay. Yep. I know there were at least ties, but...
Yes, there were ties, yes.
Okay, but...
Sorry to correct you, I saw it yesterday.
I want to be accurate. Our fans need to be told accurate information. But the Little League World Series got together and said, no, that's not how this is going to work. You're disqualified for a reason. And they were permanently disqualified. Boom!
Thank you.
Thank you. Round of applause for common sense. Common sense wins one today.
Yes, that is going to be...
Rules wins one today. Consequences wins one today. Oh,
congratulations.
Man.
And then you also, I mean, this is of note because I guess they are in the area. The Phoenix City team is going to the Little League World Series. Well, going to Williamsport. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good for them. Just, I don't need you guys on air talking about how much you love the Red Devils and the Gators, but you know what? We'll cheer for you regardless. I will cheer for you because you know what? I want Alabama as a state to look good, but just, again, no Central, no Glenwood. And about, you know, we'll worry about it in about 5 years when these kids are in high school playing against the Auburn Tigers and the Lee Scott Warriors. But
yeah, we'll cross that bridge.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. So congratulations to them.
Congratulations
to West Texas for making it because of Tulsa's disqualification.
Yes, very much so. This also, total side note as music kicks us out. We're watching West Virginia Pitt on the TV right here. Where
the one from last year.
Yes, the one from last year, but... This was
he almost had a
cool moment, and it was like, man, college football's almost here.
Mm. I mean, if it makes you feel like we are watching a game that we could look up the final score for and know what next play happened.
And we know what's about to happen.
And
it's 31-24 in overtime,
yeah.
But I'm still going to watch it, and I'm still going to relive it. And all that needs to be said is college football is almost back.
Especially in the state of Alabama.
Oh, man. Fire me up. That's all you need to know. And we will. Talk games across the state of Alabama, outside of Auburn, outside of Alabama. Who does everybody else play? We'll give a little bit of a deep dive into what week zero and week one is going to look like for some of the teams across the state of Alabama to start hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
We got SEC basketball floors and ceilings, and also week zero and week one across the state of Alabama.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And we heard the thunder, but I guess it never did officially rain, and so I apologize. That's why we're not your weatherman.
Nope.
Or much else in life. No, I'm just kidding. But appreciate everybody for being here with us. A really fun hour number one. It's been a fun day here. Had a lot of busy work, a lot of busy stuff to knock out, but makes it to where the show is very enjoyable because you have so much to be able to dive into, and that was a lot of what hour number one was. We got to talk about fall camp and how today was the first day of pads for the Auburn Tigers, and how everybody's pretty fired up about it. Everybody seems very, very excited to go in and be able to finally hit somebody, even though you're not officially wrapping up in tackling. Just being able to lower your shoulder a little bit feels, again, on the normal side of things, and the running backs are, especially again, Omar Mabson was asked about it. Just about everybody else was asked about it as well, and again, seems very unified in a whole lot of excitement working its way from the players to the coaches, the entire staff. And so talked a lot about that in hour number one. Also talked questions kind of outside the ordinary and really sat on one of them. But we talked about the special teams and how big of an impact that can play here this season. Also, where did this guy come from? If we had one of those answers, would love to see anybody's thoughts on that side of things. And then also, if there is something that has to happen for you to go, okay, this team is different than it has been in years past, the philosophy is different, and gave some really good answers on that side of things, just in terms of sustaining drives, in terms of being able to slow down when it's needed. I think those are two very big things. And then got a text in the Send Medicine on the Line text box and said, making the game simple. And how simple is that? Because there's so many times where coaches tend to just overcomplicate and think so much. And that was what it felt like a lot of the offense was last year, if there was a lot of thought behind it. But having some changes from last year into this year, I think, is a good question outside the ordinary. So a lot of that was in hour number one. We also talked about the Little League World Series resolution, and we'll get to that here in just a moment as well. But if you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out at our podcast center over at ESPNAU.com, also where we started giving our respects to Mr. Russell Westbrook as well.
Yes, for sure. In hour number two, we're going to be able to look at what the floors and ceilings are at ESPN projects for the Southeastern Conference and why we think Auburn might be a little underrated coming in to this season. We'll also look at week zero and week one across the state of Alabama, continuing our effort to highlight football from top to bottom across the Yellowhammer State. Excited to be able to do some of that. But phone lines are going to be open, though, for anything you want to talk about all hour long at 334-321-1390. The text box is open as well, at 334-7.
We just turned the Georgia Tech game just came on. We might have to.
No, I got it. It's fine.
I don't know, man. It's Georgia Tech and Clemson, where yes. Georgia Tech. We'll get Steven here to come in here.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, please.
Talk about it. But
yeah, that's it. That number's at 334-784-1685. And the text box is brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting Send Medicine. That's SENNmedicine.com. It's the place to be when it comes for healthcare, and Neville Arena is the place to be on August 22nd and 23rd for the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. OnToVictory.com/card show, all one word, is where you need to head to find out more about this two-day extravaganza. 150 vendor tables with sports memorabilia, sports cards, Pokemon cards, sports collectibles, everything that you could want out of a sports and memorabilia show, Neville Arena is going to be host to. There's going to be celebrity autograph signings from the likes of Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, and Dominique Wilkins, as well as Auburn celebrities that will compete for the Tigers this year. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance your experience. If you're a card collector, an autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports, August 22nd and 23rd, there is no experience, no other place to be than Neville Arena. Albie is also planning on making an appearance there both days, and there will be a kid zone for your littles with activities to make those 2 days even more special. For more information on ticketing, pricing, and a schedule of events, and to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/card show, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory. Legendary athletes, along with the Auburn student athletes of today. That's ontovictory.com/card show.
Boom. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
A breath.
Woo.
And while we do take a breath, I want to get back to the on-the-line text box, the Eric Sen, President Eric Sen, Sen Medicine text box, which, again, you can always be a part of at 334-784-1685. And Billy from Beauregard, again, this was all diving into the Little League World Series conversation, because yesterday I wasn't planning on starting the show just ripping apart a Little League World Series baseball team, so much so that I went back and listened to it and got so fired up that I realized I said College World Series multiple times and didn't even know, did not even think twice about it. But for, again, for those that missed it, the team in the World Series, in the Little League World Series from Tulsa, Oklahoma, played at least one ineligible player, and specifics I don't believe have been resulted, but I would be willing to say is age is the biggest thing about it. And so the Little League World Series found out about it and disqualified them. And basically went back and made them forfeit a couple of games, which ultimately moved up a team that had lost originally, which ended up resulting in West Texas winning that side of things. But the coaches and, you know, some of the, basically everybody involved said, you know what, let's go get a restraining order. Let's follow the college rules, because those are the role models that we need to dive into. And they got a restraining order in Waco saying, you know what, we're going to keep playing, from a judge in Waco, Texas. It said, we're going to keep playing. We're going to put a restraining order on it. You can't do anything about it. And the Little League World Series basically said, no, that's not how this is going to work. You're permanently disqualified. And Billy from Beauregard texted in and said, some of these judges that are making these dumb decisions need to be held accountable. They don't have the power to make their own laws and their own rules. And man, you would think, wouldn't you? You would. Yeah. It's almost like you wish that they were, I can't even say you wish they were referees, because you almost wish they were held to the same kind of standard as the referees. It's like, okay, after a decision like this, you are by clause ordered for a 15-minute post-game press conference. That's all we want from the officials, right? That's all we want from now the judges. Oh, fantastic segue. We're looking, again, I told you, made the joke of why Tripp can't focus, because it's Georgia Tech and Clemson that was put on the TV right after us. And we are now watching the white hat look into the replay, and he's communicating with the replay center.
It's being aired on TV.
And we're obviously muted, but, or the TV is muted, but you see his mouth moving. You can hear the conversation that's going on. That's
which
all we ask.
I have no idea what is the problem. Like, why does
why did it take so long?
That, but why is that such a taboo thing?
We know why.
Why does Commissioner Greg Sankey sit there and say, that is not necessary? Because you know what it would do? It would lower the amount of scrutiny on referees, 100%.
Even if you were – I understand that there's – and not even on this side of things from the money standpoint, but because I understand there's a lot on that side, but there's obviously a lot of money – that was more on the gambling, but there's a lot of money being thrown around players and around coaches for the – number that's on the left side of your column at the end of the year. I understand that, but we also do understand that officials are humans. And even if it's wrong, having an explanation of, okay,
this
although it's
saw.
Incorrect, this is what you saw. This is what this group of people came together to at least understand and give a halfway confident ruling. But again, there's...
I just don't understand like the negatives, because... legitimately, the only one might be because when we go to replay, we can go to commercial break and make more money. That is legitimately the only reason that you could conceivably have to not air this live, which they show replays anyway during the game. But I just think that having the transparency, it would make people go, okay, they saw it as this ruling, and if they that's what they're saying, and they slowed it down to the angles we thought they should show it to, rather than what sometimes will happen where they'll show an angle that they just didn't look at on TV, and it's like, that clearly shows something. It would be like, okay, maybe the referee isn't biased. Maybe they're, you know, which I don't, there aren't, but they're saying that just the idea of it. I know, but just having it out there would help that so much.
It would at least eliminate that part of the conversation.
Instead of, okay, he's wrong, but I know how he's wrong, but I know why he thinks he's right.
Rather than, this is the call we're going to make. We don't have to tell a single person why we made this call. Even though we did talk to the replay center, weirdly, there's no recordings of anything, so nobody knows what is truly said. Nobody knows how it's said. Nobody knows if it was, okay, we think that it's this.
Or if it's a makeup call.
Or if it's a makeup call, whatever the case may be. You talk about, and I understand the Auburn fans, and I mean, we're in that category of, yeah, it's hard not to look at this team, and regardless of the results and how we're ironically at a point now of we might be thanking the officials for getting some of the calls wrong because it made it to where there's change on the planes, but you never hope for.
No, you don't hope for that, but the net result positive?
It's
yes,
a cause
facts.
And effect, yes. Yes. But regardless of that, just diving into everything that needs to go on. And again, this all started because of the Little League World Series and the judges now that are making these restraining orders, not only from that standpoint, but in college as well, of the guy in Colorado that's now clearing everybody for their fifth year of eligibility before the 5-for-5 even goes into effect. And now you're seeing college basketball players that were going to be professionals now all of a sudden transferring into Kentucky or transferring to
Gonzaga.
I just saw Nate Trimble. The third from North Carolina just transferred to Louisville. And it's like,
God,
man,
this Louisville team
is
going to
be
good.
Yeah, they're going to be stupid. But again, you talk about just ruining any sort of culture, any sort of environment. I said it a couple of weeks ago about, man, everybody right now, every coach in America is going, all right, guys, all we need is who's in this room right now. That's all we need. But
knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, you come on in too. We're bringing him in too. He's going to be such a good part of our
team.
He's
going to be such a good part of our team. He's going to be a part of our culture. And Jimmy, yes, I know I promised you 28 minutes a game, but you're going to be fine with 11 now, right? I mean, come on. You want to win, right? Are you going to be a bad teammate?
Or, hey, boosters, I know we said we got the $20 million roster, but like, this kid's available. Can we get another
$500,000?
Get another $500,000? It's not that much.
Yeah, exactly. So, we're just at a point in not even in sports, just in life right now of, man, nobody has to answer to any decision that they make. And I don't know where that changed, but wild to think that we are in a spot right now of, again, the Little League World Series taking the routes of the role models of college athletics. Got another text in the on-the-line text box. Oh, Mr. Sin. Hello, sir. Would you like me to read your ad again? The text box is brought to you by Sin Medicine. At Sin Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sin is bringing personalized, access-driven health care to the Plains. You can become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com, senmedicine.com. That was not what his text said, but it's kind of like a personal cheat code.
Sure.
He could just continue to text in, and I'll just say the Sin Medicine text box every day. I'm sure that wasn't a thought whatsoever, right? But no, he says, I completely agree with you guys. Transparency would expose their weaknesses. That's an interesting way of phrasing it, but I think that's 100% right. He said, right now you're kind of seeing the same thing with the ABS and the MLB right now. You see when calls are wrong, and although referees don't have to, or I guess umpires don't have to sit there and look and I guess answer the calls that got wrong, you immediately see that kind of fix and they're held accountable. I guess that's one of the things we talked about yesterday with the rule changes of head coaches now get an additional challenge with two. If you get it right, you get a third.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but I think that the transparency would be great. And for college football, college
basketball, when did not having gray area become
a bad thing. Like when it was talked about to Greg Sankey, he shut it down immediately. Just no, we will not be implementing that for this season. You have the money, you have the technology to do it. Why? Is there something else going on? I'm not going to sit here and speculate, but that's kind of what that sounds like.
It's wild. You can't tell me there's not. Yeah. We'll take a break because we do need to get into what we both hours just off
we're
the rails.
We're just having fun. It's a free for all Wednesday. A Wild West Wednesday. Boom.
Sure. Why not? We'll take it and run with it. We will take a break. We will come back and we will dive into week zero and week one across the state of Alabama. Again, beyond the Auburn and Alabama lens, looking at Jack State, looking at Troy, South Alabama, UAB, Samford, North Alabama, Alabama State, all of those teams. Again, wanting to talk a little bit about those guys, continuing to build up this segment for every Wild, Wild West Wednesday. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us and spending some time here with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And again, 3 to 3:30 is something, especially during football season, but want to go ahead and kind of get that foundation built. Built a heck of a one last week with Trip. Unfortunately, again, I was out of town, but being able to set everything up and have a deep dive into Jacksonville State and with Coach Charles Kelly and everything that he is wanting to see from this team. And so with that, we continue to work our way throughout the state of Alabama. And this week, not as much so just with a specific team in general, but now a little bit more of kind of just the week zero and the week one across the state of Alabama. We mentioned Jacksonville State a lot last week, going to the Fargo Dome to take on North Dakota. State.
Such an awesome game.
That is a fantastic game. And I think right now, North Dakota State's favored by like a touchdown, I want to say. But
it'll be, I mean, that's such a big state game for both teams. I mean, for North Dakota State, that's your first game in the FBS program, and all the years of, man, if North Dakota State jumped up, they could be a Power 4 team. They could be in the top 25 immediately. That gets put to the test by one of, if not the best team in the CUSA in Jacksonville State at home week one. And for Jacksonville State, be the spoiler. Be the team that's going to go up there that maybe everyone is doubting a little bit, and unrightfully so. They shouldn't be doubting this team. I think Caden Creel could be phenomenal. They got some good pieces. I mean, Coach Kelly gave us some phenomenal stuff about this running back room mm-hmm. for the Gamecocks. I think it's going to be phenomenal. Just being able to go and be the spoiler to kind of the coronation that people want North Dakota State to be at the FBS level. I mean, that could do such a wonder and a week zero spotlight for this program. It's exciting.
It's awesome for, again, we mentioned it a lot, but just the state of Alabama and continuing to bring dominant football to the states. And, yes, the Gamecocks right now are a touchdown underdog right now. The over-under sits at 47.5 on that side of things. That is Saturday at 4:30 on August 29th. And so got to make plans to watch that because, I mean –
It'll be an incredible
game. That is
great,
an incredible
matchup.
Opportunity, and that is, it is a really solid.
The like garnet red, like the bright red, like the cherry red almost of the Gamecocks, and then that green and yellow of North Dakota State that you don't see a lot in athletics.
Yeah,
that's going to make some phenomenal. I don't know if they'd go color on color, but like it would be cool under the lights of the Fargo Dome.
Sweet, fire me up. September 5th. That's the only week zero game, isn't it?
For the FBS level. If we look down to the FCS level, there's two games, but three teams in the state play there with in the FCS level.
Okay.
You have Samford, the Bulldogs, new coach John Grass. Hopefully we'll be able to highlight this Samford program and a team that Auburn plays throughout the season and later in the season. They travel up to North Alabama to take on the Lions, an in-state matchup already week one, and either the Lions in North Alabama and Florence. I thought they were in Huntsville.
That's week zero, the
29th. That'll be a good one. We'll be able to talk about them. You see a lot of North Alabama in basketball. For in this state, I mean, I think they've made March Madness tournaments, or at least competed in March Madness tournaments. But looking at how they finished last year, not the best finish for them. 2-10. They played a couple good teams. I mean, they played at Western Kentucky to kick off the year, the SEMO Red Hawks, the Illinois State Redbirds, Central. Like, it's a good conference that they're in. But they also lost to a team that's close to us, but across the state line, and the West Georgia Wolves were able to defeat the Eastern Kentucky Colonels and the Northeastern State Riverhawks. So having Samford, a team that under the previous regime had a really good offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that they were one of the more underrated teams in the area. Coach John Grass has his work cut out for him. I think that a lot of people have joked that that's like team, not team nepotism, but like Gene Chizik's sons, Dabo Sweeney's son, the Venables boys, all of them are on that coaching staff. Bear Bryant's grandson, is one of their coordinators or something. So it's going to be really cool there. Then you drive down I-85 to Montgomery and Alabama State. They play a Southern week zero in that HBCU kind of class. Southern, a good team. They've made a couple celebration bowls in the past. Fantastic marching band. I don't have to tell you that. You've probably heard of them. I think the Human Jukebox is their name. pretty sick coming up from Louisiana. But Alabama State, the Hornets, are a team to look out for. I think a lot of people have them as probably the contender in the SWAC right now. And they've got a kid at quarterback whose name is escaping me at the moment, but he's going to be a guy to watch out for a Walter Payton Award over in Montgomery.
So a lot of really good week zero games, and not one that comes with the state of Alabama.
Andrew Bodie or Bodie.
Oh, yeah.
He's dual threat quarterback. He had 1,700 yards, 20 touchdowns, only one pick. I mean, he could be a really good dude for this Hornet team.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. But again, outside the state here for just a moment, because I got a text in the Send Medicine text box, which you can always be a part of at 334-321-685. And it's another big time week zero game. And one of the biggest ones that is kind of underrated. You have the UNC-TCU. That's the game in Dublin, Ireland to kick everything off. You have the USC-San Jose State. You have North Carolina State and Virginia in the non-conference
ACC supposed to be in Brazil, Bowl. But we're going to play it in the jungle of Charlottesville, Virginia.
I mean, rightfully so.
Yeah, instead of the on the banks of the Rio de Janeiro or wherever they were playing the game in Brazil.
That'd be awesome. It's like Notre Dame. They have their Jesus, but then you have in Rio.
Yeah,
just
the Christ the Redeemer. That'd be so awesome.
You have Jacksonville State, North Dakota State. You have Sacramento State as well as Eastern Michigan.
Another team coming up from the FCS ranks.
But the game that a lot of people are diving into and beginning to realize how big of a game this could be, it's Hawaii and Stanford. And got a text in the on-the-line text box. If we're already making our bold predictions, I absolutely love it. It says, if Hawaii beats Stanford in week zero, which I am a huge Michael Alejandro fan. So
yes, Timmy Chang, a head coach, buddy.
Respect the southpaws. I'll warm up the left shoulder if I need to. Coach, I got eligibility. I think they're like 4.5-point dogs right now.
Stanford? I mean, Stanford bringing in a new head coach, basically just a buddy of Andrew Luck.
Oh, wow. It was 3. It's already up to 5.5 now. Oh.
Stanford is the favorite?
I'm not making my overall prediction yet, but you'll see where I stand on that here in a little bit.
Man, I miss having a competent Stanford Cardinal program with David Shaw, Christian McCaffrey, Kevin Hogan at quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Kevin Hogan. Even like Davis Mills wasn't bad, but their coach just pays
Hogan
players.
Was the one that threw that ball.
That was caught off on the defender back against UCLA. He caught it off the defender's back?
Yeah. Oh, man. Stanford memories. Mm-hmm. Another thing you can check off the bingo card here today. But the text says, if Hawaii beats Stanford in week zero, the winner of Hawaii and UNLV in week two makes the playoffs.
Ooh. We just need to do a day of just text box and we'll put it out on like Twitter, Instagram, just hot takes from listeners and just rate them. That's a 10 out of 10 hot take because, I mean, Boise still
I don't know that it is.
I mean, UNLV for sure, but I mean, Boise State exists in the Pac-12. You still have to.
That sounds gross to say.
I mean, just, yeah. I know. They're not. That, yeah. New Mexico. I mean, Jason Eck and the Lobos are good guys.
Yeah, you got Brad Jackson at Texas State.
Oh, my goodness. Is KJ Kine still there? The head coach?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I believe he is. He's a phenomenal coach as well. I mean, the American Conference.
Yes,
with so much turnover at the top with Alex Golich, John Summerall, Ryan Silverfield all leaving. Is this a Navy year? I know they lose their star quarterback, but could Navy play well? Could a Army come up out of nowhere? Oh, and Eric Morris is well gone from that conference. The four top coaches, in my opinion, are gone.
You could go UTSA as a possible
sleeper. The Roadrunners, Owen McCown,
another respect the Southpaw.
Good. It's going to be a real – I mean, North Dakota State we've already mentioned, but like what –
was McCown? I know McCown's stats were stupid in the back half of last year.
Yeah.
Threw for 3,030 touchdowns. Yeah, that's
I mean,
stupid.
What happens if – Kennesaw State could potentially come out of nowhere in this USA. I mean, they got to get through the Gamecocks, but they did it in the conference championship game. What happens if the MAC, some team, just comes out? And I think that the group of five is going to be so – I mean, which or the group of six now that the pack is back. Man, I mean, it's such – I mean, Christian and I know, Christian, you love to talk about it as well as I do, but like – it's going to be so – Hawaii is a team that could make a run for sure, but just we got to look at their schedule at some point. But.
We on Fridays for our shows where, again, it's usually the first hour is us kind of making – I guess the second hour is more so making like the official predictions, like our game day style. We need like 4 hours because I know you're the same way that I am. We could dive into every single team, but – we are very excited to pick that back up and have the overall our overall records kept from every single game. I think are we going calendar year? Are we going like August to July or August to?
I think we go academic year.
Okay,
where you go?
So even like in baseball and like college baseball, we make our.
We could separate it out, but then have a total of
just
all
have a
of
running
them.
Tally.
Have a running tally of all of them, but then we could separate it out by sport. Be like Trip won football season, Christian won baseball season.
You wish. I'm just kidding.
We'll see. But that would be sick. But
Stanford, yes, week zero. Technically, I guess it's week one. Would be UNLV and Hawaii. The Rebels go to Hawaii.
Man, I mean,
Honolulu.
Jackson, Arnold,
or
Dan
UNLV.
Mullen.
UNLV is a 1.5 favorite. Right now,
man, that should. I feel like that should be higher. I get Hawaii's good. I get it.
Did you see? We're completely off the rails, but did you see the? Oh gosh, the video of the UNLV quarterback, the transfer from is it Sims? No.
Where's he transferring from?
He's at UNLV now.
Well, yes, but what is it? Oh, is it Alex Orji?
Yes.
From Michigan?
Sims was the other. Yes, Alex Orji. Did you see his throw the other night?
I saw the clip. I didn't watch it fall the way through. Was it insane?
I mean, it's him on the run from midfield throwing a dot into the end zone to where now people are going, are we sure that Jackson Arnold's the starter?
Well, I think if they would have kept Anthony Calandria, who is one of my favorite college quarterbacks. I know he's at Nebraska now, and that makes me so fired up for this year under Matt Rhule. But, man, if he was still there, I legitimately would take them to, A, make the college football playoff, and I don't think they'd be the 11th, the 12th seed. I will put that out there because I love Anthony Calandria. I love Dan Mullen. He should not have been fired at Florida. If you would disagree, you don't know ball. He was better than Billy Napier. He could be better than John Summerall. I don't know, but I think that just they panicked after one bad year. That's going to be a good team, man. I hate – even if it – Arnold, Alex, whoever is the quarterback at UNLV, they're going to be fine under Dan Mullen.
It's just wild to think that UNLV has not named a starting quarterback yet.
Oh, it'll – I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if – I mean, you can't mess around against Hawaii because they're another good team that knows their quarterback. But if they had a week zero game – that would be a, okay, you get one drive, you get one drive. You get one drive, you get one drive. It would be incredible.
Crazy to think about. We got to take a break. We'll come back and We'll continue diving into week zero, week one across the state of Alabama or just across whoever. If anybody has thoughts on anything else, again, the hot take of if Hawaii beats Stanford, the winner in week one of Hawaii-UNLV will make the college football playoff. I'd love to see what anybody else has to say about that or anything else going on early on in college football. But we'll continue looking around the state of Alabama when we come back.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. And continue on through our conversation, talking week zero and week one across the state of Alabama. We've hit a handful of them, but want to continue to dive into this before we transition into a couple of the other hot takes that we got for whether that's week one, week zero, or just the college football season as a whole. Got a couple of these that I definitely want to be able to read out here. But Tripp, we'll throw the microphone back to you and allow you to continue diving into a lot of the games. Where did we leave off? Did we get
– We went through the week zero. No, we did the week zero. So Jacksonville State, Samford, North Alabama play each other, and then Alabama State, Southern.
Perfect. So Troy and Sam Houston State.
That will be on week one. I mean, Sam Houston State, a team that – I think surprised a lot of people moving up from that they made the jump to the FBS level, named after former president of Texas, Sam Houston, if you didn't know. They are a team that has competed at the FCS level but made the jump up a couple years ago with Kennesaw State and has not played great since they've been up there. I think they had a better year last season, if I remember correctly. They might have even made a bowl game. Let me look. 2025 Sam Houston football schedule. They went 2-10. But yeah, they beat Oregon State and Delaware. Oh, Blue Hens, what are we doing?
Dang it! They beat my guy.
They beat my guy,
Nick Minicucci.
Minicucci, man. But I think that they're looking to bounce back. I think they might have gotten if Phil Longo's the head coach there. Remember him? I think he was. An offensive coordinator at Wisconsin under Luke Fickell, was at North Carolina for a while, was also at Ole Miss. I mean, if you're in the SEC, you've kind of heard of this guy. He's bounced around. But look, I think that this is a team. Troy should not have a lot of struggle with this team. I think Troy can compete in the Sun Belt, being so close. And I really like what the odds that they have in this game. I'm sure that they'll win it. Moving down to the Bay.
Hold on, I was going to say, Troy opened up as a 15.5-point favorite. That jump, that line has jumped to 17.5. So
valid.
Very interested to see though what that running back room looks like again now with Tay Meadows here on the Plains.
Yeah, for sure. Keeping in the Sun Belt, but moving down to the Bay is South Alabama. They play the Southeastern Louisiana Lions out of the Southland Conference of the FCS. Fun fact: I applied for a job there. Post-grad did not get it because I
so had, because of that south by a million.
Yes, Major Applewhite, was with Rhett Lashley for a while at SMU, I believe. And Major is a good, good offensive coordinator. Looking at kind of what he has done and some teams that if you haven't, he was at Houston as the head coach for a while. As well as he was at South as the offensive coordinator previously. And he could be a guy that really builds on this team. I think that you would have liked to have Gio Lopez there last season. I know he transferred to North Carolina, and now is he
the national Wake? Champion after drive one, right?
Yeah, is he at Wake Forest now? If you could Google that while I look at who they are bringing back, but Bishop Davenport is really good. I had a dynasty with him. It's because I played at South Alabama my first dynasty of 25, when the game came back. And Gio was fantastic, but then Bishop came up and was like, oh, he's even better. I'm really high on Bishop Davenport. He had about 2,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, was really good in the run game. That team takes on the Lions, who did not have a good year last year. looking at their record, I believe that I don't even think they made the playoffs in the out of the Southland. Oh, they were 9-4 in the Southland. Looking, they made the FCS first round and lost to Illinois State. So I'm 0-2 on just guessing schedules for these teams. But they and against Power 5 competition, they got blown out by LSU, blown out by Louisiana Tech, the Bulldogs, and Ruston, Louisiana. But that should be another big win for the Jaguars.
Yeah, definitely so. And then the final one, UAB heads up to go watch football on the largest college football scoreboard, which we were able to discuss yesterday. Again, Jordan-Hare Stadium now falls into second place with their scoreboard being just over 10,000 square feet. Illinois now is 17,000 plus as of last week when that got fully renovated and fully completed. If you have not seen pictures of it, would highly recommend you to go do so. I mean, for those that went to go watch, like, the Odyssey, like, all the IMAX screens, just imagine
that.
Three of those.
Yeah, that plus more. The Blazers, under Alex Mortensen for the first time, getting rid of Trent Dilfer, who there are probably a lot of opinionated people about this in the state of Alabama, so I will probably agree with them saying he's one of the worst head coaches in college football history. The dysfunction they had, I saw so many people on Twitter talking about just how the lack of respect he had with, like, the media and just, like, taking things seriously sometimes. Now he's back at his previous high school. They bring in the former OC that was the interim head coach that stabilized the program last season in Alex Mortensen. That's going to be such a big game for them. I know that it's going to be hard to say, like, oh, they're going to go up there and win against Illinois. But able to get a big win over Tulsa to end the year, that kind of helped him keep the job right there.
Yeah, UAB, 28-point dogs. I guess Illinois is a 27.5-point favorite in that contest.
I think they're bringing in a transfer at quarterback this
for
season.
UAB or for Illinois?
For UAB, because I know that they had Kitna last year, but I think he graduated.
It's Burton, right?
The transfer from West Virginia?
I believe so.
Ryder Burton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he is on the team. Like, I don't know if he's the for sure starter, but that'll be really interesting to see if he can play here, looking at kind of what he was able to do. He played a little bit last season where he was – okay, actually, he's back. I don't know why it said he was a transfer, but he was a part of the Davey O'Brien Grade 8 and Manning Star of the Week after he beat Memphis and basically – is going to be assuming the full-time role for Kitna. So really cool for him. And this could be a team of the American where there's so much up for grabs this year with Tulane, North Texas, South Florida, and Memphis, probably four of the top five teams in that conference looking for new head coaches. It could be
only one fan base, though, gets mad when their previous head coach doesn't go talk to them.
Yeah, seriously. Shout out all of our people down in the Bay of Tampa. But looking at some of the AAC like standings of last year, I mean, UAB can make a jump. You look at Navy is another team that's good, but I think they're bringing in a new quarterback. East Carolina could be really good. They start out in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. UTSA we mentioned, but UAB, even though they finished third to last in the AAC, they could 100% with some of these teams. If FAU and Rice take a step back, if Temple takes a step back, if all of the four teams we mentioned at the top take any steps back, the Blazers could be a team you could be watching bowling in 2026.
Caden Hauser, too, projected to be the starting quarterback for Illinois after Luke Altmyer makes his way to your Detroit Lions. And
he's the backup. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater retiring. Luke is the backup. I like Altmyer. I liked him a lot at Ole Miss, the game that he played for Matt Corral, if you remember correctly, where Matt Corral plays the bowl game against Baylor, I think it was, and he did and got hurt and like tore his ACL. He would have been
destroyed his draft stock.
Oh my gosh, I know. He was so good in college,
which is so unfair because it was one of the first. That was right when the opting out of bowl games became a thing, and Corral was like, "No, I'm going to stick it out."
He made a point to, and then it was, "Oh, that's why you do it."
Yeah.
So that was unfortunate, but still getting able to have Where was I going with that? Well, you said Caitlin Houser. I was talking about Luke Elmar. I loved him at Ole Miss. The half that he had was good. I like him at Detroit. But Houser will do a great job. It's just that defense at Illinois has been phenomenal for years. They always have some stud defensive back that hits like a Mack truck going down a hill, and they've got good enough defensive linemen. I mean, Zaire Newton was a guy that was there a couple years ago that was phenomenal. But if UAB, I mean, would not mind doing that and breaking in that new scoreboard with a Blazers win, just saying, would be phenomenal.
Game of true, like, first-time starters, essentially, big-time game. You never know. Could be crazy. Could be a whole lot of fun. I guess it will be a whole lot of fun. Real quickly, before we head to break, because we want to get to a little bit of an early break to talk a little bit more about what's happening tonight. But says hot take number two from the same gentleman, says Dabo Swinney will be the Baylor head coach by Christmas.
See, that's very interesting because
we're going to have to save a lot of these because we're continuing. I've gotten four or five other hot takes that could easily last us.
That's tomorrow's show, or that's because we have the Auburn player draft on Friday. That's tomorrow's show right there.
We have not shouted that out, but yes, yeah. Friday is going to be our Auburn player draft where our friend, our good buddy Jack Hudden will come in here and join us, and we'll do a whole deep dive into the team, and it'll be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. Baylor head coach is really interesting. I just don't know if Dabo could succeed in the Big 12. I think he's a guy that not an SEC guy per se, but I think he does well in the Southeastern Conference in terms of recruiting, in terms of the Southeast, as in terms of generality of position and place. I think he'd be more likely to end up like, I mean, imagine if Shane
Auburn beats Alabama in the Iron Bowl and DeBoer.
No, they would not. They would not. No, I was going to say, imagine if South Carolina fires Shane Beamer and Dabo Swinney sitting right there. Would they do it?
That'd be wild.
That would be so crazy. I could see him going up to like, gosh, if Virginia makes a coaching change. I think he stays in the Power 5. I don't know if he goes out to the Big 12, but Baylor's an interesting spot. I think they'd go after like a young head coach, though. Because I think that they they're going to go get the head coach of Texas State, J.G. Kine. That is going to be who did we confirm that he was still there?
Yes.
Yes. They're going to go get him. He is due for a Power 5 job, and he's been connected to that Baylor job so much. I can't tell you. Maybe North Carolina would be a good spot for Dabo, given the fact that I don't think the Belichick experiment is going to work out and probably could end a lot sooner with not good implications, given what some of his staff members are not with the program right now. But I could see him staying in the ACC. Or I don't know if he makes an SEC jump, because the only job is the job that hates him the most. That is probably, I mean, Mississippi State, Dabo Swinney would also be kind of awesome.
That'd be really, gosh.
I could see it.
That'd be wild to think about.
I could so see it.
Well, speaking of the Clemson Tigers, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Tell you about the Tigers versus the Tigers over at the Auburn Soccer Complex to wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are On the Line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Hey, tune in to our good buddies over at Weagle 91.1 FM tonight. If you can't make your way out to the Auburn Soccer Complex, Tigers and Tigers with Auburn and Clemson, the start of the season for Coach Armstrong and the ladies. And so, again, appreciate them for taking some time to join us here yesterday afternoon in studio. Really, really cool. We don't get that too often, but love to make it happen whenever we do. And are going to continue to highlight more and more of these teams as their seasons get started. But what better way than here tonight with free admission to the Auburn game? You can bring your personal coolers as well, as Coach Armstrong said, with cans of whatever you may choose. That's not for us to decide or anything. So make your way out tonight if you have the opportunity. If not, again, my color commentator on the Lee Scott Sports Network will be the color commentator over on Weagle 91.1 FM. And so really excited. We're going to make our way over there and try and watch the ladies pull out a big-time victory. Really, really excited to continue to see what Coach Armstrong is doing over on the soccer pitch. Really excited for them to get started here tonight.
Yeah, it's excited. I mean, you know, it's whenever you have an opportunity to play a power team, especially a Clemson Tiger team that is, as they said, in an ACC that is so possession dominant. That'll be really fun to watch that those the girls be able to get the season kicked off, get the academic athletic year kicked off as well.
Academic year? Huh.
Well,
I didn't know that still existed.
Oh, true. But getting the Auburn athletic year kicked off on such a good note would be so awesome. So excited to see them tonight at the Auburn Soccer Complex. So if you can't make it out there, Weagle 91.1 FM, SEC like Network Plus, I guess, mm-hmm. as well, if you have that. If not, we'll see you down there. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it definitely will be. So the drive's going to take you from 4 to 6, then flip it on over for Auburn Auburn Soccer here tonight. Starting at 6, if not, again, make your way out to the Auburn Soccer Complex. Tomorrow, Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, and we probably will dive into some more of these hot takes that we couldn't get to here this afternoon. So send even more of them our way. We want to have a really fun show here tomorrow afternoon. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us, and what tomorrow is going to be a lot of sports is a whole lot better with opinions, whether you love them, whether you hate them. We're back tomorrow to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.